Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the DD Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have my brother Terrell Jackson.
Yes.
How are you, Terrell?
What's up, T?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. I'm doing great. Today is April 3rd.
Yes.
Our cousin Paris's birthday.
Happy birthday.
21.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You remember those days?
It's crazy.
It's a while ago, but so that's a fun time of life, I think, right?
Scary.
Time flies.
Yeah, I'm saying because she's 21. And it's crazy.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
We are live on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Taj is not here, but Terrell and I will man the Twitter controls. So if you still want to tweet and comment or question or add a quote, whatever you want to do, if you're too shy to call in, you can always tweet us at DDJ Foundation. But if you're brave or you're feeling like you want to hear your own voice, make sure you call in at 323-203-0815. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. I said that right, Terrell?
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, everyone, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. We've learned from it, and we want to share our opinions in attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. I think that's very important to clarify. None of us are got our degrees in this field, but we've experienced life, and I'm one of those persons who thinks experience is probably the best teacher. So that's all we're trying to do here, is just better everyone's life through being honest and being authentic with our own lives. With that said, Terrell, do you want to go over how the week was for you?
Well, I think the main thing that we had was the parole hearing.
Yes.
When we spoke about that last show.
So
we went up... was that Thursday, right?
We went up a week from...
We spoke on Wednesday, obviously. We had our show on Wednesday.
Yep.
And the very next day, we had the parole hearing. And,
Just to clarify for everyone, the parole hearing, if you're not familiar with our story or what that means, is we lost our mother back in 1994. And then a couple years later, there was a trial. And a sir was found guilty for murdering our mother. Mm-hmm. And every now and then we have to go to parole hearings because he's eligible for parole. And it does seem to be more and more frequently because he is elder and he has already served over 20 years, mm-hmm. right?
My math, so, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So over 20 years. So we have to go to parole hearings about every 3 years or so.
It's like a year and a half now, it seems.
It seems like it, but I think it's still been...
Well, I think he gets 3 years, but every year and a half.
Ah, he can appeal.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we had to do last Thursday, and it was interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting because for me, as the younger brother, I was 16 when my mother passed, and I think it's tough because every time we go, we learn more and more about the situation. We learn more and more about, I mean, we obviously know our mother very well, but we learn more and more about this person because he wasn't really in our lives at all when our mother was taken. So we didn't really know this person too well. So it's a very trying time.
Well, when you say learn, we somewhat have to clarify because we don't learn. We just get more information through different viewpoints.
Okay.
But so some things we do learn.
Yeah.
But like this time, his whole story was a little bit different to me. I heard things that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of it was true.
Yeah.
But it was information that he offered that I don't... First time hearing it.
Well, and I think for me, I think it's important to state, I've always... Not always. the last couple of parole hearings, I've tried to graduate into a mindset of forgiveness, mm-hmm. of, you know, trusting the system, trusting, it's the administrator. Is that the term, Terrell? For the quote unquote
commissioner, yeah.
The commissioner. Trying to trust the commissioner's decision on whether he feels this guy is eligible or capable and should be granted his freedom. And I've tried to kind of rest my faith in this person, in the commissioner. And that's been my stance for the last time. But, yeah. You know, it's been growing, going that way because nothing's going to bring mom back. Mm-hmm. And that's just a hole that's just going to always kind of be there. So I'm just trying to always, you know, we do shows on this, the importance of forgiving, even if you're not going to get an apology. I'm trying to get to that state. And I think I was there last time, or at least close, as close as I think I can get.
Not this past time, the time before.
Not this past time. And then really with the hearing, the 3 hours worth of hearing, I reverted back.
Longer than that, wasn't it?
It probably was. Yeah. But it may be 3 to 4 hours of hearing. I kind of reverted back to this isn't fair.
Right.
You know, because it's so, there's a difference between genuine remorse and genuine, you know, and Terrell, this is something you've been saying. It's mm-hmm. different when someone is like, I'm sorry at this, right. You know, and then it's in this situation. It strongly, strongly, strongly feels like he's just going to, first of all, is a very egotistical person, very narcissistic person who feels he's more victim yes. than anyone else. And it's just, I think that combined with his changing of stories and mm-hmm. just willing to do whatever it takes to try to appease his way out and not really address certain things straight on was a real big turnoff for me. And I don't think it's fair, you know, and I like to let our audience know we're not the first family that's dealt with this kind of situation from him, mm-hmm. you know, and there's already a couple other families that are in this situation, and there should not be another fourth, you know. And although he is up there in age, it doesn't take a lot to ruin or really impact someone's life, regardless of physical capabilities. So that's something that kind of came up on me in this hearing. I have to really see a strong sense of remorse and a strong sense of desire to help others. And I just did not see it at all.
Or effort for change.
And then the last thing, unless there's something else you want to add.
No, go ahead.
The last thing for me, which I think is important that, I mean, it's a little off topic a bit, but I don't know if you picked up on it, and I did a little bit of a live a couple of days ago, but it seemed like the attorney, because this is the first time, at least I remember him having an attorney, a pro bono attorney mm-hmm. to represent him. And knowing, you know, from my history of being in this family because of the 2020 special a couple of years ago, yeah. I strongly feel, I don't have any facts on it, but I strongly feel this law firm picked up this case
yeah.
in an attempt to, if a grant was applied, he would be all over the media mm-hmm. promoting his firm and being a hero. And then they would, in a way, continue to try to feed a negative narrative on our mother and paint him as a victim. Mm-hmm. And then it would be circled all around the media because that's news.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm saying that is because I don't know if you picked up on this, but you, of course, did because we were talking about it. But when the commissioner announced his verdict, the pro bono attorney was more angry than Bohanna
yeah.
was
yeah.
than the person who took our mother's life. It was as if he knew he shouldn't be let go, or he felt somewhere in there he felt he was in the right spot, but this pro bono attorney didn't get to see the finish line with what he thought was going to happen. And it was a wasted kind of journey for him mm-hmm. because he can't go on news or he can't right. get that spotlight. And, you know, there, when we got to the jail, there was, you know, there is a lot of media outlets trying to get in, trying to see and trying to get information. And we're thankful that the prison isn't allowing it and keeping it private because, you know, I don't really have too much faith yeah. in how it could be, you know, you know, turned around and dictated to the world. So I just found that interesting.
He definitely was out of line. Oh, and even the commissioner pointed that out, and I think they held him back, right? So we could leave first.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? Another thing that I think should be talked about is I just don't, and I'm 40 now, so I'm not a kid anymore, but I'm still learning. But I just found it incredibly, in a way, egotistical that there was no real sorrow for any of us.
No.
Not only from him or the attorney, it wasn't genuine. It was more like, you know, and I understand everyone has, you know, the attorney has a job, but it's like you have to have, where's the sympathy?
Yeah.
And not
he spoke more. He spoke, sorry to interrupt, but he spoke more about Don's family mm-hmm. and how they feel with him being locked up, but never mentioned us and how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
It was that really irritated me.
So, and this was Royal, my 19-year-old's first That's time right. able to come to a hearing. And it's just simple things like that, you know, and it's interesting because obviously every parent wants to protect their child. But at the same time, I wanted him to come to experience some of this realness because I don't want him to be blinded by the world and the harsh realities of some things in the world. So it was just a tough time.
Because you do relive everything and they discuss everything. So it's not an easy day.
Yeah. So I thought that was important to share. Was there anything else from the parole hearing? Because that was the highlight of both of our weeks.
Yeah, it was just, I guess there's no, like I said in the hearing, there's no win, there's no victory on anything. And unfortunately, I feel like we're going to have to be back in a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
a tough day.
It is, because then you got to deal with it again. And, you know, I think I spoke about this again. I said that. But looking for closure and looking how to heal and move forward, I felt more this time that he went in the opposite
in the wrong
direction.
Yeah.
Completely opposite direction.
I felt that as well.
So we're further away from anything.
Okay. But so. I think that's it. The other thing to highlight this week was it was Mom's birthday.
Yes.
2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So April 1, even though she celebrated it on April 2nd, because April 1 is April Fool's Day.
Grandma Irma swears that was April 1st.
Oh, okay.
But her license says April 2nd.
Okay. So I don't know how she got away with making her driver's license April 2nd if it was really on April 1st, but I don't know.
Well, Grandma Irma swears it was April 1st.
So
we don't know.
Okay. So it's a mystery. Okay.
But yeah, it was a tough week with... those things.
All right, well, let's get to our guest.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening, by the way, everyone, to our little, but I think it's important. That's the foundation and just mm-hmm. an honest update of where we're at with that whole situation. But anyway, we have two awesome guests. One is a repeat. I think it's her third time. And she's it's a fourth time. She just notified me. It's four. One of my favorite guests for the Dede Jackson Power Love Show, we have Lynn B. And Lynn is awesome. And I thanked her before we even got on the air because Lynn, I'm into this gratitude, you know, this whole gratitude movement. And I think it's one of the most important things we as humanity can do. And although I've always heard the term, I've always seen it, I think it's one of the steps at Buckley. It's like the seven pillars of character. But it's the one that you kind of just glimpse over, at least I did as a kid. Not that I was never thankful, but it's just one that you don't really respect like you should. And it was you, Lynn, who kind of, when I think it was me, it could have been one of my brothers, but I think we asked what's the biggest advice, and you said you've been doing your gratitude daily. And I was like, that really helps. And you're like, yes, this and that. And I've implemented it. And I've not only implemented it for me, but for my kids. And I've learned more and read more books on it. And it's such a crucial thing. So first of all, thank you for that, Lynn, teaching me. Never would have predicted it. But thank you for, at least for me, for implementing that gratitude bug in me, because I think that is crucial in this world.
That makes me feel really good that that happened for you.
Yeah.
That was the point of sharing it, and it really worked for me. And so thank you. I want to cry in the air.
No, we don't want you to cry.
No. That was so sweet, DJ.
No, it's
thank
true,
you.
Though. It's something, I mean, it's something that I don't think I've always been a thankful person, you know, but I think implementing gratitude daily is an important thing, and really taking the time to really do it is a beneficial thing for everything, for you, your family, your well-being, for others. It's just a awesome, you know, awesome habit to do.
Well, it keeps you in the now.
Yeah.
If you're grateful for what you have instead of worrying about what you don't have,
mm-hmm.
then it keeps you in the now. You're not thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. And so many people are they're like running so fast to get to tomorrow or worrying about what happened yesterday. Well, how do you enjoy today? How do you feel good about what you're doing? We have to find something to be grateful for every single day, as far as I'm concerned.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So before we talk further, I should have introduced your friend.
Yes.
Who's here.
My sister from a different mister.
My sister from a different mister. Sally Jane?
Yes.
All Sally right. Jane.
Yeah. So, okay. I like the way you say it. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Ohio.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I heard like a southern thing.
You heard something.
I heard something. Very cool.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am great. Let me tell you, what you guys just shared, you touched my heart so much. And when you're talking about forgiveness, and forgiveness is a huge, huge topic in its own. And Lynn doesn't know I'm going to share this, so I hope she's
uh-oh.
Not upset. Lynn and I are very close. We truly are sisters in spirit. And yet there was a time in our life, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where we spent 7 years in no contact with each other because of an issue that was painful. And so I just want to shout out to anybody that's listening. If you had somebody in your life that was very special and a circumstances divided you, you might want to just think about reaching out. Because what is it, like 5 years ago now or six?
Six. Yeah, six.
I reached out. By the way, Lynn had reached out to me before then, and I wasn't ready. But 5 or 6 years ago, I reached out. And we got together, and it was like no time had passed. It was like each of us had more to offer because we had grown. And so forgiveness in those things, I know your situation is much bigger, what you have gone through. But I'm so grateful for forgiveness and courage because it brought us back together, and it's been fabulous.
And you know, first of all, thank you for sharing that. This is sweet.
Lynn, I don't think you're going to make it through the show without crying.
Yeah, we should.
We're only 4 or 5 minutes in.
God.
I don't think you're making
my
it
God.
Through.
But yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, because I think a lot of people find themselves in that position at some point in their life where they're going months, mostly years, without reaching out for whatever reasons, you know, whether it's a misconception, whether it's a wrongdoing, whatever the reason is. But I love how you phrased it, Sally, where you said, if there was a person that was special in your life, do yourself a favor and maybe consider re-reaching out. And I think, you know, we say this all the time, that life is so precious that, you know, I think it's important to make sure you do things like that and you reach out to those who impacted your life and try to right any wrongs. And what I think is cool about that is that it kind of, what's the term I want to use? It kind of solidifies your own life in a sense, because I think sometimes we have this untied business in the back of our head that
Absolutely.
If we can address it, it makes, without you even really knowing it, you're feeling more stable and firm in your own life. So thank you for sharing that. You know, and to hear it from you. And
it wasn't a plan, but so thanks for letting me surprise you, Lynn.
Thanks for making me cry.
Oh, well, this is something that's cool, too, is because, Lynn, you had your surgery for a couple years ago.
It was almost 2 years in May.
Yeah, because when you first were on our show, it was coming up.
Correct? Oh, okay. It was before the
I
surgery?
I thought so.
I don't remember. I'm getting too old to remember these things.
Do you remember, Terrell? Terrell's the memory guy.
I think you had it.
Yeah?
Okay.
I think.
Couple of months after, maybe.
And what was, first of all, how's that whole situation?
I am totally free of cancer. So I had the double mastectomy, and then I had reconstruction 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Sally was with me the entire time in the hospital. I could not have done it without her, frankly. And yeah, and here I am almost 2 years later, and I don't even think about it, you know, unless I really, somebody mentions it. I don't look at myself as, oh, you had cancer, and blah. I don't even think about it. I think about what I can give back because I didn't have to go through so much pain and illness, like with chemo and radiation. I didn't have to do that. So I feel very, again, very blessed every day.
Is that a conscious effort of you not having to think about it?
No, not at all.
Where do you think that comes from? Is that one of the benefits of you just being such a gratitude-driven
I think so. Honestly,
person?
I told you I had read the book, A Return to Love, and Sally was the one actually that gave me the book a few months before I even knew I had cancer. And so what's the point of thinking about that? I'm not a victim. I don't want that to be my identity. So many people use their illness, their sadness as their identity, especially women in my age. I'm going to be 69 in August, so I don't want to be one of those whiny victim women who want attention because of that.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
I am a male. I'm a
you are?
Heterosexual male. To me, I feel like, that, first of all, that's such a powerful statement that you made. And the reason why I brought that up is because that's, to me as a male, that's the most attractive thing I think is a strong woman who feels like, I don't want to be labeled as a victim. I'm more than this. I'm not going to let that dictate. So why do we so often in society find people labeling themselves as a victim if it's not really an attractive trait? Does that make sense?
It does. And my answer, and I, you know, I'm not a therapist, so I don't know. I can only go by my personal experience. But I think I was taught that by my mother, who was a victim. She got attention by being sick, by, you know, just,
Be an attention thing where, which is the reason why we're often saying, poor me, or
yes,
this
I think it's attention. And I think it's also part of the road.
Yes. Also, I think, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think it's also an excuse. It's an out. Mm. So if you don't succeed or if things don't go your way, then it's a way of saying, well, it's because of this.
It's learned behavior, but I agree with you. Once you get that learned behavior, then I do believe people use it as an excuse to say, well, I had cancer, so I can't do this. And I, you know, oh, please, just, you know.
Mm. I think that's so important for us to talk about and for us as a society to digest and try to become, because I think we often find ourselves victimized, and I think it was you, Lynn, who said it was attention and it's a way out. That's what you said.
I agree with that anybody.
I think that's something that everyone can learn from. If you guys are okay, we're going to take a phone call.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Hello, who's on the phone with us?
Hi, this is Alicia. How are you?
I'm great, Alicia. Hmm. How are you?
I'm good.
I was
calling to talk about the friendship you were talking about earlier and not letting it pass you by.
Yes.
I had a friend that we had known each other since, I guess, maybe third grade, and we had a really bad fallout in college. But luckily, a couple of years ago, we reconnected on Facebook and recently have been able to, you know, talk on the phone and text each other and everything. And I think that's really important because when you're really, really close and have a friendship that's lasted that long, you don't want to, you know, let something like that just stop. So I think that's a really, really important. And also, as far as feeling bad for yourself when you go through difficult things. I'm like a really, really optimistic person, even though I have a lot of different things going on. And I have another friend who has, you know, issues as well, but takes the opposite approach. And so even though we are close, I have to sometimes take a step back so that her negative energy doesn't mm-hmm. you know, rub off on me too much.
Good mm-hmm. for you. Like, that's yeah. fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because at one point it was beginning to affect me, and so I did have to pull back because I just couldn't take it anymore. So now we don't talk as much, but we do text each other, which is a lot easier, and we see each other every once in a while. But I know that if I saw her on a regular basis, it wouldn't work.
Wow.
So I think that both ways are, you know, both ways are effective for me anyway.
First of all, Alicia, thank you for sharing both.
Yes.
Both of those important things, and I think that's very wise and you know, just an amazing thing for you to be able to realize when it was time for you to step back. I was actually on a run this morning, and I heard a talker talking about on my podcast. It wasn't me. I was running. So, but they were talking about how the sick can make a healthy person get sick. So if someone's sick, and it's not really the other way around. Like
it's
if
toxic.
if you're healthy and you're around a sick person, they're not going to become healthy just from you being there. So you have to be very mindful of when you're around sick people because they can make you sick. So I thought that was very
well. That was the problem because I am sick. I have 3 chronic illnesses, so I couldn't really, you know, hang around her a lot.
Mm.
Now
that's
and, you know, I have to take care of myself more than I can take care of her.
Yeah, that's
even though she needs me too.
That's a very wise and strong thing for you to do.
I love what you just shared because there's both sides to every coin. And I wanted to share that once in my life I had a really painful but amazing experience. And a very good friend came to me and said to me, this was many, many years ago, I was going through some hard stuff. And she said, Sally, I don't know what to do in our friendship. I've listened and I've tried to be there for you, but it's time for you to get over it. Mm-hmm. And instead of us breaking off our friendship or me being angry, what we did is I said, you know what? I can't be on your time frame, but I understand that my influence in your life right now is not good. So I am going to get through this, but I give you full permission.
Wow.
To back away for a while, and we're going to always remain friends. And you know we did. And I came to respect so much the boundaries she set for me. And the other side is, if anybody ever sets those boundaries with any of you out there, look inward. Maybe they're setting some healthy boundaries, and the friendship can go on. You're not ready yet, and they need to respect your timing, but they need to get away from you for a while. And you know what? That's okay, too.
Mm, well said.
Yeah.
Well said. Alicia, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us today.
You're welcome.
Alicia, take care of yourself, and thanks again, okay?
Bye, all Alicia. Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye.
I have a question.
Yes.
How did you guys meet? When and how?
Well, we met actually through business. Oh. We were in a similar business, and we met, and immediately there was just, we resonated.
We're soulmates as friends.
We
you know, it was just, I believe it was a connection from above. I really do.
Wow. Hmm.
I know they have this big thing with men on bromances. Well, women can have them too. And Lynn and I laugh a lot because we just said we're soulmates, you know, and you can have a romance in that way,
right.
Just like the men have their bromance. You guys don't have a whole thing on it. We have one too.
I love that. And it's true. We have a term, bromance, mm-hmm. but I don't know if...
No, I think we should get one. Callers, figure out one for women. Give us one.
I love it. Okay, well, the phones are ringing pretty strong, so we're going to stay on the phones for a bit. Who do we have on the line with us on the Power of Love show?
Hi, guys. It's Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am so glad I got through because I've heard Lynn on your show a couple of times, and I'm so glad I get to finally speak to you. Your energy is always so positive.
Oh, Meredith, thank you.
You're one of my favorite guests.
Okay, that's it. I need a Kleenex. Oh, Meredith, thank you so much. That means a lot. It really does.
I really mean what I say. But TJ, I actually love that question you put out there about being a victim. And I like what Lynn just said when she did say she don't talk about, you know, she just went on with life. And I do hear that a lot. And I try to use that on myself, too, as far as whatever I'm going through, not to harp on it. Because to me, when you are constantly using this happened to me or I'm going through this, to me, it's like bringing your attitude down. And it's, to me, it can cause depression and more sadness. As you guys, I don't know if you guys remember when I was going through with my mom, taking care of her, and when she passed, a lot of people would come up to me and say, wow, you're doing this, and your mom has cancer, and you're taking care of her. And to me, if I dwelt on that at the time, it wasn't going to help anything. I was more of, this is something I got to do. It's a part of life. I got to take care of her. And that's just it, and keep going. But to me, if I felt like I would have said, oh, yeah, it's a shame I'm doing this. I have two kids. I'm a single mom, and I'm in school, and I'm taking care of a mom. It would have defeated everything I was trying to accomplish. It wouldn't have helped anything. So I like the way you guys put it out there. Sometimes using that I'm a victim or I'm going through this is only making matters worse, because you're not going to have that positive energy to be able to handle it. And when the time came where she passed, it helped that I stayed positive, because I could have easily broke down.
Yeah.
But by staying positive and knowing that I had to continue on with life helped. Now, that's not to say I didn't have bad days, or there weren't days that I did, you know, feel sorry for myself. But I don't think it's a good thing to dwell on that, because you're going to end up, to me, going into a breakdown.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I think, I mean, all four of us are here in agreement that, you know, your mentality and your mental state is an important thing in life. So I'm happy you shared that story, because like I said, and like we say all the time, is there's so many people out there going through similar situations that all of us have went through. So to hear someone else say that while you're going through it is very helpful. So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Meredith.
Is there anything else?
No, thank you, guys.
Meredith, is there anything else? We're good? Okay.
Can I just, I went through this experience with Lynn a couple years ago, and I call her my can-do queen. Because she doesn't just talk that talk, okay? She walks that talk. And what she is a crisis manager. I see that in her life, when she's helped me when I've had issues. She does something I think all of us can benefit from, and that is, okay, let's not talk about the can't-dos. Yeah. They're there.
Yeah.
They're there. They haunt our dreams. But what are our can-dos? And she goes right to the can-dos. And if any of you out there are struggling, you know, sometimes when you write your problem down and just put down three very tiny, tiny, tiny can-dos, and you focus on that instead of all the things that can't be done, it on a practical way, that keeps you moving. Now, I don't think Lynn has to do that, because I think she has the can-do gene, genetic. But for those of you like me without the can-do gene, that's an exercise that helps me be more can-do.
Thank you for sharing that, Sally. Aww. Thank you.
And I like that. I'm going to do it.
I love it. Sounds like you don't need to. You're doing great, but it's just a little help if you ever need it.
Meredith.
Well, you guys keep doing what you do, doing. That's the Power of Love show, Lynn. And I'm sorry I didn't get the other person.
Sally Jane. Sally Jane, my dad called me.
Well, you keep doing what you do, and I appreciate you guys taking the call.
Thank you, Meredith. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So cool. And we could stay on the phones, but there's one thing I want to talk about real quick is when you were going through your situation, and we touched on this, or you did, Sally Jane was there with you.
Yes.
What did that mean for you? And when you said with you, explain what that means.
Well,
I know there's family that were with you, but what was
family was not with me. Sally was by my side from the minute I walked into the hospital to have the double mastectomy until I left. She slept in a chair. She was my champion. She did not leave my side. And when you come out of surgery, you're in pain. And I have a thing with my neck. And I mean, probably 50 times that night, Sally, could you move the pillow? Okay, Lynn, move the pillow. Sally, it doesn't feel good. I mean, she put up with so much and argued with the nurses because they started to give me the wrong medication. She was there for me. She, I couldn't have done it without her.
In the middle of the night, I found them giving Lynn a medication that was on her chart that she could not have. And of course, she just got out of surgery. She was kind of foggy. And all of a sudden, I jumped up. What are you giving her? What are you giving her? You can't give her that. You can't give her that. And so they got it all fixed. And then the nurse stayed, and we had a pudding party at about 3 a.m.
We found something. We did. We had a pudding party. I'd had enough pain medication that I was ready to eat pudding and be there. And she was, I could never do enough to thank her for being there for me. Nothing.
It was a privilege. I think all you feel like the gal who just called in, was it Meredith that took care of her mother until she passed? I'm sure, Meredith, that you thought it was a privilege, and doing this with for my bestie was a privilege too.
Wow. That's important. That's a blessing. It's a blessing, Lynn, to have someone like her
Like I said, my kids couldn't have handled that. My daughter would have been on the floor. We would have picked her up.
It's tough, you know, and it takes, I think also Sally has had the experience and, you know, it's a different position. So it was probably a little easier.
It's her soul. You can tell just by talking to her, right?
Sweet.
It's her soul. And that's authentic.
Yeah.
Well, just a shout out, though, to Mara. She was in the waiting room sitting there. And some people, hospitals are really hard. And when it's your mom, and Lynn and I always laugh and we just remind ourselves, you know, our children haven't been where we've been.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, sometimes your family is wonderful, but you got to have that girlfriend.
Yeah. I love how you say it. And it's true, because also times, you know, it's tough juggling everything, as you know, when you have kids and
absolutely
especially when you have as many as you do.
Trust me. I know. So, but I think that was a beautiful story, and I think it's important to share. What else are you up to, Lynn? Before
taking
more phone calls. So talk to us
again,
what you're up to now.
Being grateful, I wanted to give back, and I was a stylist for many years, you know, over 30 some years. Anyway, so I decided that the best way to give back is to do styling for women that don't have the money that celebrities do. So what we've been doing, Sally's been helping me, is that I am only charging $50 for an entire day of styling. Part of that money is going to the cancer research. Mm. And if I get a client who is from this show, then I'm going to give the other part of the money to the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation.
That's so cool.
But I want to give back. I need to give back. There's so many women that don't have access.
Yeah.
It can't just be about celebrities and the richest. We have to help everyday people feel good about themselves. And so I have a gift and I want to use it.
I think that's a really cool thing, because you're giving back in a multiple ways. You're giving back financially to a charity, but you're also giving back by incredibly lowering a price for a stylist. I mean, that's usually at least $600 to $1,000 here in LA. Yeah. So for you to do it for the everyday person is huge.
Well, it's what I love. I have to give a little testimonial here. You know, I had the advantage of my friendship with Lynn, and she has definitely been my stylist. And what she has shown me, and she's so great, is, you know, she's shown me how to get wonderful things at Ross's and Marshall's and TJ Maxx, and even Forever 21 for these old ladies, right? she has shown me that, but she's also shown me how to shop, how to be my best self. I was the type of shopper, I'm sure a lot of the women can relate to this out there. You go and you find this wonderful accent piece and you just love it and you get it. And now your whole closet is accents with nothing, absolutely nothing to go with them.
Yeah.
And she taught me formulas, and it wasn't just about presenting my best self. It was about not buying things I didn't need and never use.
Yeah.
It was about being true to my own style, because she's always sensitive, not to her style, but what is yours? What makes you feel good and comfortable? And it was just, every time, I know, I've heard women say this all the time, you walk into your closet and all you feel is stress and overwhelmed. Mm. And I don't have that anymore. So she's been my stress eater in that arena. And I once said to her, I said, Lynn, what you've given me is such a gift. Can you imagine if you could give this to the masses and do it economically by taking a few women out instead of one at a time? So it's creating a lot. She takes men out too, guys. But a great synergy. So the last time we went out, I went with her. I wanted to be her assistant. And there was, three women. And it was just a ball. It was one of the most fun days. Each of those women left feeling they had gotten so much value and feeling so much more relaxed. Lynn even let them bring pieces from home of their clothes that she helped them match. Mm. It was extraordinary.
So how do people look into you? Like, is there a number? Is there a website?
Yeah, I think that we'll have everybody go to my my email, which is hearts, HEARTS, 4, LYN at gmail.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So just
easy.
Email there.
Easy, easy.
If you're interested, I think it's awesome what you're doing, Lynn.
Thank you.
I think it's beautiful and I think it's important. So thank you for doing it. And thank you, Sally, for being there with her, helping her.
No, we're having a blast.
Okay, you guys okay going back to phones?
Absolutely.
They're just on fire and we're going to answer them. Who do we have on the phone line with us today on The Power of Love?
This is Tiffany in Texas.
Hi, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We are doing well. We are doing
y'all.
Well.
What I like you, that, y'all.
What do you got for us, Tiffany?
I had called last week, but I know we ran out of time. But I'm glad that it kind of goes with what Lynn, is it Sally or Sarah?
Sally.
Sally Jane.
Sally Jane.
Miss Lynn and Miss Sally. We're talking about how they were friends and, you know, they kind of drifted apart and then they came back, you know, and, you know, I guess reconnected would be the best word to say for it. For me, I had mentioned that I had lost a cousin. We were not very close, for years. And, you know, she just had her funeral last Saturday, which I didn't attend, but I mean, I just had a very contentious relationship with her. And, you know, even thinking about her now, I have a lot of animosity like rising in me.
Mm. Wow.
Well, that's not going to do anything good for you, though, is it? Anger just makes you sick.
Not really.
And it interferes, you know, with the good things that are in your life.
Also, you know, it's okay. We all have that. Lynn's right. It doesn't really serve us, but, you know, we feel it. What do we do when we have these feelings that we can't get rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to share a book I read because I'm with you. I had a lot of feelings that just haunted me and I couldn't get rid of. And just like you said, just the thought of the person or the thought of the life situation that I had endured just caused me, like you said, like you're feeling right now. And I would like to recommend a book, and it's called Loving What Is by Byron Katie.
Okay.
Now, the book might, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but the book might piss you off. Can I say that?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Because I've recommended it to people because the Loving What Is, you know, is very controversial. Like, how can you love horrible things that have happened? So if that bothers you, I changed the title for her, even though that's the name of the book. I call it Radical Acceptance of What Is. And she has actually practical steps where you can work through it through kind of judging your cousin, putting down all these things, and, you know, be totally honest. And then she has a process you go through, and she spells it out in the book, that will help you put your story about your cousin to inquiry. Hmm. And then, if it serves you, perhaps develop a story that is as equally true, but different from the one you have. And by doing that, letting go of some of these feelings. And I just share that with you because it has freed me from so much, and it's very practical steps. So it's Loving What Is by Byron Katie.
Thank you, Sally, for sharing that.
Thank you.
Because I'll tell you, Tiffany, for me, I don't know how to approach that. I mean, I think I agree. I know I agree with both of them, but my feedback would be kind of what Lynn said, is that that's just going to rub off on you and rub off on those around you. So I strongly figure out what it is you can do to improve that self, that perception. And I think maybe going through Sally's book, Loving What Is, is a step to doing it. You know, I'm a reader, so I'm interested in it. But I don't want you to be stuck to that kind of mentality going forward. you know, and.
Oh, I'm generally positive and, you know, pleasant with everything else in my life considering, but just when it comes to, you know, I had a list that I'm looking at right now on my laptop that I typed up of stuff that I, you know, remembered from her. And I mean, I've known her all my life, and I can't think of a single redeeming quality for her, which is horrible to say, but I mean, I just can't.
Maybe, you know, when things like that come up, I think everybody and everything is our teacher. And we think that teachers are positive, but I think we can have teachers in our life to teach us what we don't want to be.
That's great.
So maybe she was your teacher to teach you of qualities that you are never going to embrace and never going to be. And at least you can have gratitude for the lessons.
It's true. Sometimes you learn what to do, and sometimes you learn what not to do.
Absolutely.
Well done. Well, Tiffany, thank you for your call. And best of luck going forward.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
And we hope we helped somewhat. I think Lynn and Sally were awesome. Yeah.
I appreciate your vulnerability.
You all helped.
Your vulnerability. Yeah. A lot of people share things when they've conquered them. It's hard to share things when you're in the battle. So I appreciate your authenticity.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice to hear.
Tiffany, great week. We have so many calls that I'm going to try to get to one or two more prior to the end of the show, okay?
Bye, Tiffany.
Bye. Thank you for your help.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Good. Look at this. They're like professionals. You guys sure you didn't go to school for this? You know what it is? It's just life, right?
And we both speak to large groups in business. So
we spend so much time exchanging these ideas with each other and working through them. Yeah. And Lynn and I are very different in many ways. And that's been a richness in our relationship, because she'll have takes I don't have. I'll have takes.
You better not leave me again, or I'll kill you.
Never, girl.
But what's cool, though, is you guys are coming from a real side. You know, it's not like...
We are authentic selves with each other, and I don't have that with anybody else.
I love that. That's an important thing. Was there anything you had, Terrell? Twitter? Because I should have been checking Twitter, I apologize to anyone who's been tweeting.
What? Yeah, no. Go ahead. I was just saying I was enjoying our guests. You guys are, it's nice to see, you know, friendship and, you know, the ups and downs. And it's funny because I've had friends and we've separated and we've had our times apart. And when you said that we were apart for so many years, and then when we picked up, it felt like you hadn't skipped a beat. And, I don't think Louie and I ever had like a big falling out, but I think it was after, because Louie's 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So he's Todd's age, and we went to different schools. So I think once baseball was a constant thing where we were always playing at Encino. But him being older, once he, I guess, graduated or aged out, I didn't really see him much. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have much in common. And in our relationship, not that there was anything bad, it kind of just fizzled out. And we met one time. There's a friend that we both had that was in between our ages. And we met at his house and playing a game of Sorry. And just like that, it was like yesterday, Louie and I. And been together ever since. So I can relate to that. And it was good. And sometimes you need to be apart to realize how much you guys mean to each other. So I thank you guys for sharing. And I think you guys are brilliant. And
thank you.
What else can I say?
And I want to add, I think it's awesome because so often people hear us, our male, you know, perspective to hear you two females. It's beautiful to hear for our listeners. Was there anything you want to add, Lynn?
Well, I was going to say, since Terrell was talking about Louis, who happens to be my son-in-law, and I have known him for 17 years, and I've seen the good, I've seen all of it, and Louis and I have a wonderful relationship now. And so I want to say to Terrell and Louis, there is nothing that should keep you two from having your friendship. There is nothing that will keep me from having Sally in my life. I don't care what the situation is. That will never happen again.
I love it.
And it shouldn't have happened in the first place. So Terrell, you and Louie better.
No, we're fine. I think it was more of an age thing.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't have the baseball thing to always to hold us.
Well, you don't need it, though.
Different school.
You don't need that.
But now that we're adults, we have our own cars and whatnot. So now, you know.
I love it.
Can I just say one last thing? Because like it goes along with what the two of you are saying. And Lynn and I know there's people on the call that are much younger than us. And so I'll just be the aged old woman giving you my ideas. But the people that you share a history, you shared a history with Louis.
Yeah.
Lynn and I shared a history. And as you go through life, right or wrong, you find out that a lot of friendships are built on convenience. And when it becomes inconvenient, the friendships go away. And then you have these people that you've been friends with years and years and years and years and years, and they knew you when. And they got your history. And I'll tell you, those relationships that you have a history with are so incredibly special. Hang on to them.
Mm. 100%. I personally, I mean, we're out of time. So to any callers that I didn't answer, I apologize. I'll do a bit better time management next time.
I hear this all the time. Don't
but
we?
I think that was such a strong and potent way to end, Sally. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks for having me.
Lynn, as always, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being such a key part for the show. I mean, this is number 4, and there's going to be a 5 and a 6.
I hope
know.
So. I love it. I love being
really,
with you guys. It's fun.
Our listeners love you, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They really appreciate and learn from you. So thank you for being you and sharing your authenticity and your realness, because I think it sticks with them. So thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Terrell, is there anything you want to say before you close?
We're good.
Okay. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will see you all. Well, not see you, but we'll be back here next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Until then, have a great week and adios. Adios.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.